your desire to serve God. Because you want to please things. And you, in order to please something, the first thing, in order to get down to serving God, which is what as Christians we want to please God with, the first thing you must do is you've got to have salvation. Once you have salvation, then it becomes satisfaction, and then you're in a position to serve God, and it all becomes a pleasing faith. And today we're going to talk about the perfect faith. And go back and remember, we talked about it last week, that God was pleased. If God is pleased with our faith, we will be declared righteous. So that's what we go back to last week. It's a real quick deal about last week. So this week we're going to simply talk about a perfect faith. A perfect faith, folks. And understand this. We've heard in the past, we've always been told, the only thing perfect in life is Jesus Christ. There is nothing perfect. Well, folks, that is not true. That is not true. Yes, Jesus Christ was perfect. But folks, there's one other thing that we fail to remember that is perfect in life. And if it wasn't perfect in life, we would not be able to do what we do. We have Jesus Christ that was perfect, but there's one other key part of perfection that we miss, that we've never talked about. And it's called grace. God's grace is perfect. It's just like Jesus Christ. So there is not, there is more than just Jesus Christ. It's the grace of Jesus Christ that is perfect. So if we have to have a perfect faith, it's imperative that we receive Jesus and grace. You want to have a perfect faith. So take your Bibles today and let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, starting at verse number 22. Jesus replied to them, "Have faith in God. I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. Therefore, I tell you, all things you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. And whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your wrongdoing. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your wrongdoing." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we just thank you for the things you provided for us today. Just ask now, Lord, that we can take the message you have in store for us on this perfect faith, Lord, we can apply it to our lives, and we can find out what the importance of a perfect faith is in our life. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things today. Amen. Okay, when we look back at what we just read, and you go back and you break your scriptures down, in verse 20, you know, it talks about having faith. Folks, it is a simple message. If you want to have a perfect faith, you must put your faith in Jesus. We can't put our faith in self. We can't think that we can do it. It has to be put in Jesus. We are an imperfect person. We are an imperfect being that is made perfect in the eyes of God through the life of Jesus Christ. So we have to put our faith where the perfection is. And folks, that perfection is where? Jesus. That's where it's at. So we have to understand the importance of perfect faith. That's in verse 22. And then we get to verse 23 that talks about moving mountains. And when we think about moving mountains, what do you think about? When you think about moving mountains, what do you think about? Man, it's got to be big. It's got to be huge. That mountain's big. How can I move that mountain? Folks, what does the Bible tell me? The Bible says if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can say, you know, that's what you got to have. Mustard seed is one of the smallest things out there. So faith doesn't have to be big. Faith doesn't have to be something. Faith can be the size of a mustard seed. And it says if you tell that mountain to move, it's going to get up and move if you believe in your heart. And in verse 24, it talks about that we have to, if you want to have a perfect faith, you have to be willing to receive to have perfect faith. You have to. We're going to take a look at why perfect faith is important. We're going to take a look at it today. What kind of faith makes perfect faith? I just told you that roughly there when we went over. The first thing we look at is a pardoning faith. A pardoning faith is a perfect faith. The Bible says in Romans 5, 1 through 2, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And in 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anything to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And lastly, in Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They shall be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. That's the same thing we heard last week talking about a pleasing faith. It's the same scripture we talked about a pardoning faith, folks. I'm here to tell you, God's pardoning faith that we have, it is not a hidden agenda. It is not something there. You know how a lot of times when you go get something and they always tell you, what are you supposed to do when you get something? Read the fine print. Read the fine print. There's always something hidden when you're trying to buy something. Always something in that little fine print that's down there. You know, a lot of times the salesman will try to rush you through signing stuff, and you're not even sure what you're trying to sign because there's a lot of fine print. You don't know what you're signing for. Well, I can promise you when it comes to this, there is no fine print. There is nothing that is hidden when it comes to God. God said it's real simple. If you've got salvation in your life and you have it, folks, he will pardon us even as a Christian when we repent of our sins. God says, I will forgive you of what's going on. All you have to do is repent. You have to admit that you messed up, and he said, I'll forget about it. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing that says that you've got to go into, you know, and boy, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but there's nothing that says you have to go into the church and you've got to go. Folks, you come into church every Sunday and you can throw thousands of dollars into an offering plate and it's not going to pardon you of the things you do wrong. It's only because you repent to Jesus Christ. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing about it. It's pure, it's simple, it's easy. That's why it scares people about Christianity, because God says it's easy. It's not hard, but we make it difficult because of the world we live in. That's why he says it. So, hey folks, his promise is not handled. His promise is not handled. What does that mean? It's not handled. Real simple. God's promise is not handled. It is your responsibility. Your responsibility. God's done his part. God sent his only begotten Son. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He rose from the grave on the third day. He sat at the right hand side of God today, waiting for him to come back. It is now up to you if you want to have that eternal life, if you want to have that responsibility. Only you can do that. That's why I've said it time again. You and only you are responsible for your well-being when it comes to standing before Jesus Christ. Nobody here is going to save you. Nobody here is going to get you out of going to heaven. Nobody here can get you out of going to hell. All that is strictly on you. And so many times people think, well, so I don't care what so-and-so says. The Bible says the only way I'm going to go to heaven is going through the Father. And I get to the Father through Jesus. Nobody else is going to get me out of going to hell except Jesus. That's the only way to get me out. It's my responsibility. Not yours for me. Yours is for you. And we have to understand it's not handled. God handled everything he's going to handle. He sent Jesus. His handling is done. Now it's up to us. Do we have the faith to have that pardoning faith in our life? Now, you know, and I'm going to touch on this real quick as I do. Pardoning faith, it goes back and tells you there at the end of it, folks. You got to forgive others or they're not going to forgive you. God's not going to. So when I talk about a pardoning faith, God gives me a pardoning faith so that I can go to heaven. I've got to give a pardoning faith so I can have a perfect faith. It goes both ways. So many times people think, well, I can't forgive them. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you, you better learn to forgive somebody or God's going to learn to forgive you. How many times have you done wrong to God? How many times have you kicked dirt in God's face? How many times have you stepped on God and went right over like it wasn't there? And what does God do? He says, if you'll repent, I'll pardon you of your sins. He doesn't say that you only get one chance. He doesn't say that you're only going to do this. God says it doesn't matter how many times, if you go to God with a sincere heart and you apologize, God says, I'll forgive you. Think about that as we go into this world. Next thing we have besides a pardoning faith, folks, is we have a peace faith. And you know, folks, I'm going to tell you, when you have a pardoning faith, and you're pardoned of your sins, there's a lot of peace that goes into your life. If you remember back to the day you become a Christian and the day you accepted Jesus, you had a peace come over you. You had a good feeling come over you because I know I get to spend eternity in heaven. I don't have to worry about what goes on out here in this world, and this world can't harm me. This world can't hurt me because the day that I go to be with Jesus, I'm at peace. So I'm not going to have peace while I'm here. That's what a pardoning faith does. It gives me peace. Justification, folks. I'm justified. Why am I justified? Am I justified because Jesus came to the earth? Am I justified because He died on the cross? I'm justified because the man wasn't in that grave on the third day. I'm justified now. He conquered it. When He rose from the grave, my sins were justified. He defeated everything that could be defeated. It's all done. Now I'm justified so I can have peace of knowing that no matter what this people tells me, no matter what happens, I'm justified because Jesus Christ rose from that grave. He walked out of that grave. You know, I'm also understanding besides that, what else? What, this is the one thing I've talked a lot about. But we have a peace faith and the pardoning faith that brings a peace faith. I've talked a lot about this, folks, and I will continue. Joy is in your life. No matter what this world brings, no matter what is thrown at you, no matter what happens, if you've got God in your life, you should carry joy everywhere you go from the inside out. Not the fact that you're not hurting, not the fact that you're not having issues, not the fact that things are not going right, but you should never lose joy because God is still on the throne. We should never lose that peace because it doesn't matter how bad things are in your life. If you're a Christian, God has got you. God has got you right there. May not be what you want, but God is still in control. And when we talk about a peace faith, folks, the best thing about a peace is I can promise you this. If you've got peace in your life, you know, I'm going to pick on Rhonda. I always pick on Rhonda, so I'm going to pick on Rhonda again. Rhonda gets a peace. He called Rhonda up, wait a minute. Well, she's sitting there. I'm in my pajamas. I'm watching TV. I'm listening to Flight in my house. She's at peace. She's completely content. No matter what goes on, she ain't worried about what's going on outside the house. She ain't worried about it. She's at peace. Give her time. Something will come along and mess it up, but that's okay. At least at that moment, she's at peace. But that's the same way we have here. Peace. I will promise you this. When you have peace in your life and you are comfortable and you're sitting there in your pajamas and you're sitting there in the quiet here, I will promise you one thing. Why is it there? Because Jesus is there. When you have peace, Jesus is there. You have peace when He's present. The more presence, the more you make it a point to put Jesus present in your life, guess what? The more peace you're going to have in your life. That's what Jesus does. Because when Jesus is there, what does the Bible say? That if God is here, guess what? Satan can't be in the same place that Jesus is. So if we put Jesus there, Satan is going away. Satan can't hang around. He might be outside the door. He might be right outside the door waiting. But he ain't going to be here because God is the one that's here. God is present here. That's why a lot of people, when they come into a church, they don't expect to have problems. They don't expect to have issues because God is supposed to be present. We're supposed to be at peace. That's why a lot of people take church as a safe haven thing because it is a place of peace. Why? Because God is supposed to be present in the church. That's why we should have peace. But I got a little tale I can tell you on it. It's not just at church. God can be at peace. You can be at peace at home. You can be at peace driving down the road. You can be at peace wherever you're at because guess what? You're the one that can bring Jesus with you. You're the one that can present Jesus right there. It's not something that has to be done because a preacher standing behind a pulpit or because a song leader's up here singing or because of, it's wherever you are. If you're a child of God, you are the one that's going to bring Jesus to the game. Nobody else. That's you. So you can have peace. Everything we do, peace, faith is always present if Jesus is there. So if you're struggling today, maybe you need to start finding where's Jesus at? Where am I putting Jesus at? Then we have my favorite talking about a pardoning faith. It's the past for perfect faith. The past for perfect faith. Why is it? Because guess what? The Bible tells me there in Isaiah 1:18, it says what? That the crimson stain will be made white as snow. God says, I'll forgive you. God says, so I'm past, I'm forgiven. It also says that it'll be forgotten. It's completely taken off the books. It's forgotten. We as people, we want to continue to bring it up. We want to continue to live in the past. We want to talk about the things. We all make mistakes. We all do it. But folks, I'm here to tell you, a key to perfect faith is you've got to have a pardoning faith. You've got to know Jesus Christ so He can pardon your sins. But it doesn't stop there. You've got to pardon others. But you've also got to repent so God will pardon you as a Christian. He'll wipe your slate clean so we can have that peace. If you're struggling with peace today, go back and look. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? Where do I need to fix this at, folks? It's a key to it. Next thing we have is a purifying faith. Acts 15:9, the Bible says, "And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." 1 John 1:9 says this. Pay attention. This is an important verse to me of the whole thing we're talking about. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Learn that scripture. Learn that. Live that. Understand that. That is a big part of a purifying faith. Hearts, that is a purifying, the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you right now, is the only way that you're going to find that perfect Savior named Jesus. The Holy Ghost was sent as Jesus prepared to ascend into heaven. 40 days after he rose from the grave, he looked at the disciples and he said, "I've got to go now. But I'm going to send you a comforter called the Holy Ghost." He come down 10 days after God goes up. The day of Pentecost breaks out. And folks, I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost is the same today that broke out 10 days after he ascended into heaven. He hadn't changed. He's got one job mainly and one job only. What is that? It's to convict you when it's time for you to do what God says to do. When you're becoming a Christian, you're convicted by the Holy Ghost. When you're a Christian and you're screwing up, you're convicted by the Holy Ghost to get your life right. That's His job, is to convict us and let us know we're not doing God's will. That's what His job is. It purifies us. That's what He's trying to do. We can only get to a perfect Savior by confession. By confession. God says, "Hey, I'm going to forgive you." But God wants us to admit. He wants us to confess that we're screwing up. He wants us to confess we're messing up. We have to confess our faults. We must admit we are a sinner. So many times people have in their head they can become a Christian and they get saved and they ain't got to do nothing anymore. Folks, I'm here to tell you, people out there right now that think that because I'm a Christian, I don't have to. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that I'm still going to be a sinner. I'm still a human being. I've got to repent and I've got to confess my failures. And God is just, as it said there, it is just and will forgive us our sins. That's all I've got to do is confess my sins to Him. And God will forgive me of them. And once we do, we need to let Him know. Don't keep going back and grabbing them. But there's one other thing. We have to confess. Not just that we are a sinner. We have to not just confess that we make faults, not confess that we're faulty work. We're not faulty work because of God, we're faulty work because of me. But there's one thing that we need to confess if you want to be pure. I never really thought about it. But man, when I did, it makes sense. How many people have gone through life and made it a point to confess your faith? We all talk about confessing our faults. We all talk about confessing our sins. But how many of us talk about confessing our faith? Folks, we need to stand up and tell people, "I've got faith in God." We need to stand up and confess my faith the same as I do my failures, the same as I do that, because we need to tell God, "God, I'm going to know that I've got faith in you. I'm going to know that I believe in you." And God wants us to know that we have belief in what He says. We come from the heart. Everything we talk about, folks, that I'm talking about that this last week all the way through the next 3 weeks after today, it's going to boil down to what comes from the heart, not what comes out of the lips. Not what comes off the lips. But we have to admit, we have to let God know that I have faith, that I believe in Him, and guess what? God will purify us when we do that. You're struggling in things in life, maybe we'll go back to what I talked about forgiving people. Maybe you're having trouble. Folks, if you tell God, "God, I've got faith in you. God, I believe in you," God's going to tell you, "Let's get it right so I can purify you." And then we have the contract, the good old contract. You know, are you remorseful?
Do you regret your wrongdoing? We have to be redeemed through Christ. How many times have you had someone apologize to you? And when they looked at you and apologized to you, you knew good and well that had absolutely no meaning behind it whatsoever. How many times have you seen, went to a child, or you've seen a child and somebody says, you got to apologize, and they go over there and you just see them half-heartedly or halfway doing it? How about us when we do that to God? How many times do we say, God, I'm sorry, and turn right around the very next breath and do exactly what we apologize for? Are we remorseful when we do wrong? Are we remorseful when we get in trouble? I was always remorseful when I got in trouble if I fixed to get with me. You know? But that's about the only time I get remorseful. If my dad and my mom didn't have a belt getting hold of me, I wasn't very remorseful about it. I just going, okay, fine, move my way. They got a belt done, the world changes. That's the way God is. God doesn't want us to go through the motions. God wants us to come from the heart, and He wants us to be remorseful. When we're going to have a purifying faith, folks, it is important that we understand we have to be remorseful. And God, I'm sorry, and it has to be meant. Then we get down to the holy purifying faith. We have a holy purifying faith. And a holy purifying faith says this, folks. You have deserted sin. How do I desert sin? It's real simple. There's two steps to deserting sin. Your life says, number one, I do not love sin. I do not love sin. The second thing goes right along hand in hand, and both of them go hand in hand. The next thing is, this is for other people to see. I do not live in sin. There's a major difference. People are seeing you what you are. The one part of it is from the inside. When you love the sin and stuff, it's from the inside. Only God sees what's on the inside. You can convince everybody else out here it's not. But when you talk about living your life, that's what everybody in this world sees what you're doing. Are you living in sin? Are you living in things that they do? Are you living your life such a purifying faith? Are they seeing that life that you live? That's what we call about having we deserted the sin. Another thing is that we talk about, well, the other two things that goes with the holy purifying faith is, are you dedicated to Jesus Christ? Do you live and do you love for Jesus? Once again, the love of people comes to the inside. That's between you and God. Love is between you and God. Do you live for Him? What are people seeing out here? That's a tough thing when you talk about. Because you may try to live for people here to see that you're trying to do what Jesus wants you to do, but inside you're really not. Inside you're really not. So all that has to go hand in hand to have that holy, purifying faith. And the last thing, which is right here, is what comes down to a purifying faith. All this boils right down to a holy, purifying faith in this. How determined are you to serve God? How determined are you to serve God? How many people want to be holy, humble, and honorable when they serve God? Most people, unfortunately, when you see them trying to serve God, somehow, some way, it gets twisted back into, see what I do? Look what I'm doing. Look at what I've got done. Look what we've done. Folks, God has blessed us. He told me, I've heard me tell me, God's blessed our church. But I can assure you it has absolutely nothing to do with anybody sitting in the pews, with anybody behind the pulpit. It's got everything to do with what God has done for the church. God's the one who blesses His church. We're just the ones that are fortunate enough to receive that blessing. As Christians that attend church, that's what we are. But we haven't done anything. Well, I say that we haven't. Chances are we have. We may have got our heads right and got where we needed to be for Him. A penetrating faith is a perfect faith. That's what we talk about. Penetrating faith. And behold, a woman of Canaan, in Matthew 15:22, came out of the same coast and cried up unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter grievously vexed with a devil. And in Matthew 15:28, it said, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Penetrating faith, folks. As we go through the whole passage of what I just read, the two scriptures out of Matthew chapter 15, you read the entire passage, you're going to understand why her faith was so great.
She said, Lord, I'm no better than a dog, is what she said during this time. But if you would just give me the crumbs from your table and I will be satisfied, that will be enough to help my daughter. Folks, that is humility. She has humbled herself to know, I'm no better than that animal. But if you will let me have the crumbs, it will help my daughter. She has enough faith in the one that can. I'm here to tell you right now. The ones of you that have struggled, the ones of you that have been survivors, the ones of you that are going through it now, your faith is going to make a difference in how you strong you will be in the battle that you're facing right now. You want to talk about, Charlotte gave us that, Burks gave us, I talked about Shannon. We've seen Cheryl, we've seen other people that have conquered cancer, other you that are going through it right now. It's the faith that you carry. It's what makes the difference in what you're doing. Do you believe that God is capable of doing that in your heart? Do you believe it? Now, I'm going to go back and say this here when I talk about penetrating pain. Do you people that are not strong, do you people that are not having issues, do you believe it enough that when you're interceding for those people, that you believe it enough that God's going to answer that prayer? Because God can answer that prayer that you're saying for that person that's struggling today. Because if you're praying for one, you've got to believe it. And then God's the one that will answer that. So it's not just on that individual that's having it. It's on the other people. They're saying, hey, that's why it's very important. If you tell somebody I'm praying for you, you better be on your knees praying for somebody. Penetrating faith. One thing penetrating faith does is it penetrates doubt. It's rid of doubt. Negative thoughts and talk. Man, how many times do you see that everywhere you go? In life in general, it's just negative, negative, negative. When you go back, and I don't watch the news. I don't pay attention to the news. Why? Because it's all negative. It's all negative. So why is it, you know, the doubts, the penetrating faith that you have in your life with all the doubts and all the negativity and all the bad talks that's going on, the penetrating faith that God has is all you will hear is God's voice in your head if you have penetrating faith. If you let the faith penetrate you, you're not going to hear all of the mumble that's going on in the world. You're going to hear what God says. That means you're going to hear what God says through the Bible. You're going to hear what God says through prayer time, interacting with other Christians and other people. You're going to hear what He says when you go to church. You're going to hear what God says, not all the other mumbling that's going on in the world today. You know, penetrating faith is what hears God's voice. You also have penetrating faith will also eliminate a whole lot of this called discouragement. How many times have you been discouraged about certain things? Folks, I'm here to tell you, when you look around right now in our little community, just about every church that we see at some point or some time has been through discouragement. At some point or some time, every church that we have has been destroyed because of discouragement. And we know as a fact it's difficult. We know as a fact discouragement is very real. But a penetrating faith will overcome the world. A penetrating faith will overcome the wickedness. And folks, it will overcome the warfare that the devil is throwing at the Christians today. That's what a penetrating faith will do. It will eliminate those things because it's the faith that we have in the wonders of God. When you sit down and say, well, I haven't seen any, folks, I'm here to tell you, we just heard it. Charlotte's story today, what I read about Shannon today. You've got Brother Rick up there. You've got all these other people in here that you can go to that have been through numerous things in life, and we have seen wonders of God that we take for granted, and they're wonders of God. We can't take wonders of God for granted. Why? Because if we sit down and we look at all the people that have been, that you know, all the people that you're family with, all the people that are here, that you know that have overcome certain obstacles and overcome certain things, folks, we understand that is a wonder of God. There ain't no doctors can do that. That's a wonder of God. Also, when you talk about a penetrating faith, there's two other things besides the wonders of God. Number one, you have to, from your heart, worship God. It's got to come from the heart. And the next thing is, and this is where we get in trouble, is doing God's will. You know, a lot of us are easy if we can see the wonders of God. A lot of us is easy when we see the fact that we can worship God. Then all of a sudden, when it's God's will and it's not what I want to do, whoop, hold it, we got to stop here. You know, most generally, when you go to some place, you tell them, I got 2/3 of it. I've got 66% of this right. That was pretty good shape. When it comes to serving God, it's 3/3, it's 100%. So we have to understand, I may not like the will of God, but a penetrating faith is going to drive me
to do the will of God. Other thing that a penetrating faith will do is this right here. You're going to go through potential battles with depression. We're all going to face sickness. We're all going to face death. All the little darknesses that we have in this world out here today. All the little dark areas that we have. We're going to face those. But if we will allow the penetrating faith to kick in, that's when the penetrating faith picks up. When we start battling these things, what I'm saying is, when we, you know, as the old cliche goes, when the going gets tough, the tough's going to get going. And if we allow the penetrating faith to kick in, when we have those battles of depression, or we have that battle of sickness, or we have these battles of death that are coming around, if we will get serious with God and we'll get down and trust God, that penetrating faith is going to pick up. And that's the importance of a penetrating faith, is the fact that we can overcome the things the world is trying to throw at us. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the closer you draw to God, the more the world is going to throw at you, and the more you better draw closer to God in order for our penetrating faith to not get you down. We can't let it get us down. Preserving faith. A preserving faith. What is preservance? It's steadfast effort to follow God's commands and to do His work. To do His work. So a preserving faith is perfect faith. Well, guess what happens sometimes in a preserving faith? You can see absolutely no progress. We've all been in churches. We've all been in churches where churches just flatline. Go to hospital. What happens when you're flatlined at hospital? They tell you what, you're dead. Churches, you get there, you're flatlined. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's a story of the guy in the Bible that was flatlined. Absolutely no progress. You probably heard of the guy before. His name was Noah. But Noah had a preserving faith. He was flatlined. Everything going against him that he could. No progress. He did not see. People weren't responding. People weren't doing anything to help. Yet God, yet he continued to have faith. He preserved faith in Jesus Christ. He kept following God's commands. He kept doing what God told him to do. He kept doing the certain things. And guess what? One day it started raining. After he got the ark built. He preserved the faith in God. He didn't give up because things weren't progressing the way he thought they should. How many times have you done something in life and you got your plans? Okay, I want to do this, this, this. And, well, I didn't get there, so I quit. Perseverance is what got him there. He believed Jesus no matter, even though I wasn't seeing that progress. And then we talk about Noah. Had no promise. There was no promise in Noah when you looked at what was going on. What happened when a lot of people, they don't talk about it, but it's perseverance and faith. What happened? Noah sent down the raven out of the boat. Rain quit. They're floating around on top of the water. He sends the raven out. What happened? That raven never came back. What happened? We don't know. Not a lot of story about it. But what happened the next time that he did? He sent out a dove. And what happened? That dove come back with a stick in its mouth, with a twig. He had enough faith not to just stop when that raven went out. He had enough faith to send the next one out and go ahead and do what God had told him to do. He still preserved faith to do what God told him to do. And his perseverance paid off because the raven or the dove came back with a twig in his mouth. And he knew the dove had found a tree that their dry land was rapidly approaching. But it was his perseverance that paid off. And then we look at the no purpose. We've had no progress with Noah. We've had no promise with Noah. But I'm going to shift gears a little bit now. We're going to talk about no purpose in a guy named Job. Job. What was the purpose of Job? Go back and look at it. Job was losing everything that he ever had. Job was losing everything that he had going to him. And Job did nothing wrong. Job didn't do. But guess what? And during this whole time, he said that I served him before and I will serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord, is what Job said. Now, how many of us, how many of these people, remember, he had all the stuff in the world he wanted. He had everything. Job was a rich man, and he's losing everything. Being taken away from him. All these people saying, you need to blaspheme God. God's doing this. And he says, I'm going to serve him before. I will serve him now. Blessed be the name of God. And his perseverance paid off. And then we know the story at the end. He was richer and had more and owned more than he ever did before.
We're going to go through struggles in life. We're going to go through times in life where we look at stuff and say, man, there's no progress. I'm not seeing anything. Where's the promises that stop being fulfilled? What's the purpose? And it goes back to it. A lot of that is because God is wanting to know just how persevering our faith really is. How faithful are you? Are you willing to do what Noah done? Are you willing to do what Job done? What's the perseverance about? You go back and look at these right here. And I'm going to tell you what persevering faith will do. Persevering faith will make a perfect faith. But the one thing persevering faith is going to do, and you can write this down. Persevering faith will always bring you victory. If you don't give up on God, it's going to bring you victory. I didn't say it's going to bring you victory here. A persevering faith will bring me victory the day I cross over and I get to go to a place called heaven and be with Jesus. It's, I guarantee you, persevering faith will bring you victory. No question. Persevering, a perfect faith is what we talked about. It's a pardoning, purifying, penetrating, and persevering faith. That's what perfect faith is. We've talked about this. It takes something here, folks, that you got to understand about a perfect faith. Perfect faith is a lifelong accomplishment. You do not accomplish perfect faith overnight. You can accomplish salvation in a split second. But perfect faith, as you live, the longer you live, and the more longer you've been a Christian, and the more you've done, guess what? Your perfect faith has become a little closer to being closer to perfect and closer to perfect. When you reach that perfect faith level, it's when you go be with Jesus and you've accomplished everything you can accomplish as a child of God. Because now you're in the presence of the Jesus Christ. That's perfect faith. So let's go back real quick and let's think about these four things as we get ready to close out. What four things do I need to work on the most? What area am I having struggles with the most when I talk about a perfect faith? Are you here today and you're struggling with a pardoning faith? Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe now's the time. I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you're struggling with things in your life. You're having issues. A pardoning faith is just as important for that person as it is for one who don't know Jesus. We've got to get things right in order to be able to have that pardoning faith, in order to be able to get to the rest of them, folks. A pardoning faith is what we have to come up with to be able to start off with a perfect faith. We all struggle with a pardoning faith. Every one of us does. Purifying faith. Do we need to allow for God our heart to be purified? Folks, go back and remember, what did we talk about before? In order to have gold that is 100% pure, what's got to happen? It's got to go through fire. It's got to be melted. It's got to come out of a solid state into a liquid state. It's going to be put through a fire. That's how it purifies. So we have to understand, if we're going to have that, sometimes I've got to say, God, I want a purifying faith, and I've got to offer my heart up to go through that fire. I've got to have it. Maybe my living needs to be purified a little more. What do I need to offer to God? Is it a heart? Is it my living? What do I need to offer to God to purify? Folks, I'm here to tell you, we all fall short in the category of purifying for God. We all fall short someplace, somehow. We've had a pardoning, and we've had a purifying. Next thing we're going to talk about is a penetrating faith. This is the area where a lot of people fall into. Paul, you and Tyler are going to come up. This is the area where a lot of people fall into the penetrating faith. Why? Because penetrating faith is the thing that we have to penetrate in order to accomplish what God desires for us to accomplish. There's too many people that run around in life that have doubt in their life. They doubt. They worry. But man, what's going on? What's happening? A lot of people are discouraged. A lot of people face that. A lot of people have darkness in their life, whether it's death, sickness, whatever it may be. There's a lot of darkness that goes on. Well, I'm going to promise you, when you talk about darkness and you talk about discouragement and you talk about depression, folks, they all do one thing. They lead to defeat.
Maybe you need penetrating faith in your life today to overcome one of these areas or something else that I haven't mentioned so that you can overcome that and you can overcome defeat. I told you a while ago, penetrating faith will guarantee you victory. If you feel like you're struggling today and you feel like you're having issues garnishing victory today, you better look at your penetrating faith. I promise you, penetrating faith is the one thing that holds us all back. And the other thing we talk about is a persevering faith. Every one of us could be a little more like Noah and a little bit more like Job. We all could, and understand, if we're doing what God wants us to do, we're doing the things that God requires us to do, we're doing the things that God asks us to do, we may not see the progress that we think we should see. We may not see the promises that, well, God, you promised me this. And we may understand why I have to go through what I'm going through, such as Job. Let's go back to what Job said. That's the key. I served him before. I will serve him now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, if we serve God and we become a Christian serving God, when the going gets tough, that's not time for us to run and go back over to the world. Go back over what the world wants just because somebody there is trying to make you feel good. That is the time that we are drawn closer to God and serving God more. Job said it best. If you serve God enough to become a Christian, then you can serve God enough as you're going through the trials of life. The importance of a perfect faith. The importance of a perfect faith. It's a combination of all. How many people truly believe that now is the time that we find out what our perfect faith lacks and what we need to do to get it right? What do we need to do to get it right? What do we need to do to make it right? Folks, it's real simple. I don't care if you're not a Christian, I'm talking to you. If you're somebody that's a Christian, you're sitting here struggling, I'm talking to you. If you're somebody sitting here as a Christian and you don't think you have a problem in life, I'm definitely talking to you. So understand this. It is time. If you want to have this perfect faith that we're talking about, if you want to have the pleasing faith that we talked about last week, it's time to put your trust in God. Time to put your trust in God. That was God talking to you right there, didn't you? Okay, didn't do that voice. Have no idea what you just had, but that's what God talking to you. So, you know, we got to put our trust in God. That's it. I'm telling you.